And that sort of brings me into the next speaker we've got. He's a fella I met in an event sort of similar to this, but it was on a much larger scale. We actually met in Thailand, funnily enough. We were at a conference together, just in the crowd. I actually remember the first time we met. Actually, we were walking up the hotel we were staying at. There was Adam and his wife, Claire. Never met him before. You know, you're at this conference. Yes, we are. We were there with about 200, 250 other people in Thailand and just got starting to talking and, you know, really interesting fella. And I thought, oh, that's cool. Adam's got a really amazing story. And I guess that is how Adam's grown in his business and his family and his life. And I guess I've grown in my business, family and life. And we've stayed connected ever since. And now Adam and some of the business owners that we are in a group with actually go to Adam for advice. He's what they call a Sherpa. And people, and I'm talking about people who run multi-million dollar coaching businesses, go to Adam Soden for advice. So that's pretty amazing. And they're people I look up to, and they talk to this guy to find out what to do. All right, so I don't know. I think that's a pretty good introduction. Good, solid, excellent. So if you'd all like to stand up and give Adam Soden a big round of applause, guys. Thank you.
Okay, am I on? Can we hear me? Do me a favor. Put your left hand up, or your right hand. Reach to the person next to you on the shoulder and shake them a little bit. And say, oh shit, he just asked me a question. So my style's a little bit different. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Wollongong. I think by far this is the second best city in Australia to live. Okay, so raise your left hand, put it on the person next to you, give him a shake and say, he just tried to do a joke. All right, so mindful of time, I've got a 4-hour presentation to do in 60 minutes. No, not quite. So who would like to charge more for your stuff? Who wouldn't like to charge more for your stuff? Okay. Imagine if you could take the same intellectual property, the same service, and double what you charge for it. Who'd be interested in that? Okay. So my job, that's what I'm here to do, and that's what we're talking about today. How do we take your intellectual property and upgrade the packaging of it so that you can charge more for exactly what you're doing now? But more importantly, you can charge more for a better market as well. Who'd be interested in that? Okay, so that's what we're talking about. How to sell more for more to better people. And it's all through positioning and becoming authority. So that's what the theme of this little event is about. Did that move? It's not on. So if you haven't noticed already, technology is not my thing. Steve, buddy, how do I turn that on? On. Okay, so the reason why I'm here, how do I get into this business? I was a postie years ago. I used to deliver mail. And an opportunity came up to leave the post office and get an opportunity in a property investment company. And at the time, I didn't know anything about property, but I had kahunas. So I took a plunge, and the first 6 months of my venture into property went pretty poorly. In fact, my boss at the time came up to me and said, Adam, for the first 6 months, you've done pretty poorly. You've got a month to match your first 6 months' results, or you're going to have to leave. I went home to my girlfriend at the time and said, I lost my job. To which she said, tell me about it, what happened, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, this is the situation. And she said, well, you haven't lost your job. Go back, have some fun, play the game and see what can happen. So in a month, I basically changed the way I was playing the game. I repositioned myself a little bit and had a real go. And in a month, we didn't just match 6 months. We were lucky enough to do more than 12 months worth of work in about a month's time. So we made a lot of money, a couple of $1 million for our business, a couple of $1 million for our clients. And my mentor at the time, John, who was a fantastic guy, came up to me and he said, "Adam, you've just made a whole bunch of money. Why are you working for me? Why don't you start your own property investment company?" So I thought, I've got kahunas, I'll have a go. And I started my own property investment company. And through word of mouth and getting good results for clients, we got an excellent result. But then I lost interest in property and decided to sell that business. And we were having the day I sold the business, I was having a conversation with John, the mentor who pushed me into it. And we're standing outside the office building at the time, and we're having a beer. And guys know this. I'm sure women know what we do. We have a beer and we tell each other how good we are. And so we're having this conversation, kind of bragging about ourselves, and John leans forward and he says to me, "Adam, you've done really well, but what did you do?" And I said, "John, I bought and sold a whole bunch of property. What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, anyone can buy and sell property. Anyone can sell stuff. But if you know what you did, you can replicate it. If you know what you did, you can turn it into a model or a framework. If you can turn it into a model or a framework, we have a scalable business." Does that make sense? Part of the theme of today, please write this down, your model determines your outcome. Your model determines your outcome. Now, my job is I help people upgrade their model so they get better results. So I've sold the business. I've got this message in my head: make sure you understand your model. And I'll explain what I mean by model. Model doesn't just mean business model. Model means a whole bunch of things that I'm going to be talking to you about today. But how I got into consulting was once I'd sold my business, a whole bunch of people started approaching me and saying, "Adam, what did you do? Can you explain what you did?" And they said, "You know, has anyone ever called you and said, 'Can I buy you a coffee and pick your brain?'" Anyone? Okay, so it's a pretty risky transaction to let someone pick your brain over coffee. They're doing neurosurgery on you while you're having a coffee. You could spill coffee in your head. Don't do that. All right, left hand up. That's another joke. Okay, so now the point was I started charging people for picking my brain. And about 8 years later, I realized I had a career in consulting and coaching, in particular in how to get people to upgrade their sales model. So we had this really nice business. I was working 3 days a week, earning a decent six-figure income, and something happened. It wasn't just one of them, it was three of them. So we had this nice... Not at once. This lady here just went, "Oh, shit." Triplets. No, not triplets. I had one, and then he was, 5 months old or something, and then the next one came along, and they just kept coming. I still don't know how it happened. So we had this situation where our nice little business that was cruising for us, we now needed to earn a lot more money because we had more people and my wife was no longer working as well. So I decided I needed to scale my business. And I came to... I didn't come to an event like this. I started studying people who taught how to scale your business and et cetera, et cetera. And I spent lots of money educating myself and something happened. So I've started educating myself. I've started to try and change what I'm doing. What do you think happened to my business?
It grew?
Not quite. Anyone else? Sorry, I don't have my hearing aid on. What did you say? I broke my business. And the reason why was very simple. Was I was trying to do more than one model. I had this person's model and this person's model and this person's model and this person's model. We call that a confusion model. And so I got to this situation where we were almost broke. And because I'd broken my old business, I had all these different bloody models going on. And my brother was working in the mines at the time, and he was earning a good income. And I've got three children, or not three yet. But anyway, I said to my wife, you know, maybe I should go get a mine job. And she said to me, Adam, she's a really sweet lady. She said, Adam, you're a fucking idiot. You're incapable of working for someone. She said, just streamline your model, come back to what works and make it work for you. So this is where we started. I started putting together a streamlined sales model for my business. And our results in 30 days. So we've gone from a slow, steady decay over 18 months, losing clients, working hard, to let's just cut this back and find the easiest, most effective way to get to the market and deliver to the market. How do we sell more at a higher price? How do we deliver better value to the client? And how do we do it in a way that's easier for us? So the results for us in 30 days of getting rid of every other model and streamlining back to a single model was, which I'm going to be talking to you about today, was we did a couple of sales events, two sales events, four days work, and we made $50,000 in the first month. And this kept going on and on and on for a period of time. And then people started saying to me, Adam, can you teach us that particular sales model? So that's what we've been doing for our clients. That's what we're going to be covering today. But to be honest, I kept this information to myself for some time, and my private clients. And then one day I saw this guy, I won't mention his name, but I saw this guy speak in Sydney, and he did a presentation on how to sell with workshops, using events to sell your stuff. And he had a 128-point checklist on what you need to do in a presentation. Now, if you haven't noticed, none of my slides have words on them. My presentation is, I see a picture and it reminds me what to say. This guy has a 128-point checklist. And in my past experience, if we've got 128-point checklists, for me, chances are I'm not going to use it. And what this guy was saying, and this is the one other thing that you're going to get from today, is at least by the end of today, you'll be able to listen to someone give a pitch to you and know exactly what they're trying to sell you. And it's not what they're offering you. What this guy was trying to sell, he's trying to sell an idea to me and the audience. 128-point checklist. What do you think he's trying to convince me of? Very good. Keep going. So, anyone else? Okay, stop again. No, seriously, left hand up. Put it on your shoulder. He asked the question. Shake the person. He asked me a question. So, I'm like Tinkerbell. If you ignore me, I get really shy and quiet. So, if you give me some energy, it'll be far more interesting for me and potentially you. So, what else? What do you think he's trying to sell me? 128-point checklist. Okay, what's... 128-point checklist. What's he trying to say? You need my 128-point checklist. What's he trying to say to me? He's trying to tell me that it's complicated. He's trying to tell me it's complicated, it's hard, and you need my stuff to do it. That's the sales pitch. There's all the words over the top of it. And the thing that clinched it for me was he did this little thing So he's up on stage and he's telling a story of why he's into doing, he became a speaker. And he had this event, his goddaughter's christening, and he wanted to get up and he really wanted to nail the the speech at his goddaughter's christening. And what happened was, so as he's doing the speech, he got up to do it and he choked. And he went, "Happy christening day." And he wrote this speech. He couldn't do it. He choked. But as he's telling the story, he started to choke up. In a room full of people, he's saying, "Oh, it really affects me now." And I thought, that's a really inane thing to choke up about. And so I asked my friend who'd already seen this guy speak as well. I said, did so-and-so choke up when you saw him speak about the goddaughter story? And they said, you know what, he did. And I asked another person. So every time I'd seen this guy speak, or every time a client of mine or a friend of mine had seen this guy speak, he choked up at a particular point in his presentation. Now, personally, that's not what I consider a decent way to sell, because it's using subterfuge to get a transaction. Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean by subterfuge? He's actually using some kind of, what do they call him? The Svengali of sales. Do you know what Svengali means? If you look it up, maybe you can tell me. Svengali is like the person who comes with poor intent to sell you something. So it's dodgy. Now, part of what we're going to be covering today is what we call the soft and the hard of sales. Now, I'll get into this in a moment, but this is the second main theme of today. Where you're coming from determines where you end up. So if you're coming into a sales presentation or you're selling and you're doing whatever it takes to make the sale, it's going to affect the relationship in the future. If you can't make the sale through authenticity and honesty and true value to the client, you shouldn't be making the sale. And believe me, because I've been in sales a long time and I've made sales that I shouldn't have made. And like, I mean, hands up, who's probably pushed a sale that maybe you didn't need to? You're a hairdresser? Oh yeah, the foils will look great. Do you know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is where we're coming from determines where we end up. So my clients, I help them take their message. We help them clean it up. We help clean up the whole model so that they can sell it for more, give better value to the client, and do it easier. So just to be clear, if you haven't noticed already, I've broken a few social media rules. I'm wearing jeans. I swear a lot. And apologize in advance. When I get excited, it gets worse. Steve, man, seriously, she should have told us about the drunken photos before. Yeah, cool. So a little bit. That's a little bit about me. I can get off topic. I get a bit excited. I need some Tinkerbell love back from you guys. But I want to know very quickly, just sweeping through the room, what industry are you guys in? I know we've got paintball. I know we've got hairdressers, accountants. Just throw out a few. What else have we got? App development. Fantastic. Education. Construction. Great. Education.
Plumbing.
Publishing. Plumbing.
Skin corrections.
Skin corrections. What?
Like medical, cosmetic.
Okay. Nice. You're in the same industry, aren't you? Yep, great.
Fitness?
Okay. Is there anyone here who sells any coaches? You're a consultant, business consultant? Is that like a coach? Yep. Okay. What do you specialize in?
Restaurants. Cool.
All right. So what we're going to be covering is what we call the soft and the hard of sales. Now, in the bio of me, it says I'm a mindset expert. Now, truth be told, I'm a no mindset expert. Who's into NLP? Anyone into NLP? So personally, I have a goal in life. The bucket list guy is coming along today, and my goal in life, one of my bucket list things is to think as little as possible. So any NLP is just not, my brain is just not designed to think so much. So the way my mindset stuff works, which I'll talk to you about in a moment, is I don't like to think. I like to just be as present as I can with the situation and allow natural ability to take over. And I'll be talking about that in a moment. But so there's the soft, which is mindset in relation to positioning. And then there's the hard, which is the process. So we're going to be looking at soft and hard. Okay, so just quickly through the room, just so I know how much to spend, like we're short on time. So who likes it soft? More soft? Sorry. And who wants more hard? Okay, so more process. So, okay, we're going to cover the soft. We're going to cover the mindset stuff as well. And we'll get into the nitty-gritty, the tangible stuff as much as we can as well. So, does anyone know what this is? Yin and Yang. Yeah, that's in the middle. But do you know what the... It is. Do you know what these symbols are? Okay, it's dash is great. So it's a coin that represents the I Ching. Has anyone heard of the I Ching? Okay, it's a Chinese book of divination. So the I Ching, the definition of I Ching, to translate it, is the E, which is, I'll write it down for you, because I know you want the spell. So, I Ching, and it translates through to the easy way. I, easy, Ching is way. Now, it doesn't mean the lazy way. It doesn't mean there's no effort required. It doesn't mean there's no energy, but it means if we, energy is required in any creative process. And in fact, most people have their business set up to work harder than they need to make less money than they could do. So what I'll get interested in is, how do we make more sales to the right people with less effort? How do we get better results for our clients with less effort? Does that make sense? So that's what we're going to be talking about. But essentially, there's three things we want, or three things that we're going to be covering. The easy way for growth, the easy way for impact, actually I said three, there's two, growth and impact, okay? So this first little bit I'm going to race through, okay, but it's about mindset. We're going to be covering mindset. Now most people think that mindset is what you think, and that's true, but the way I view mindset is it's a positioning thing. Mindset, you personally, is the foundation of your business. So it looks a little like you, your service, your message, and the mechanics. So when we look at service, we're also talking about positioning here, and I'll explain that in a minute. Has anyone got really good systems in their business that if you turn up and do them, they'll work? Yeah? Have you ever got up one day and gone, I don't feel like doing it today? Come on. Seriously. You've never gone, oh, shit, I don't feel like coming to work today. Okay, so you, this is, we're talking about the soft. You are the first foundation of your business. So does anyone know what this symbol is? Yin and Yang? Okay, so I'm going to be talking to you about a very quick mindset positioning model here. So it's all about models. So it's a model for thinking, not just what to think, it's a model for thinking. So does anyone know what this symbol means?
Oh, Balance, yeah. Opposites, fantastic. Anyone else? Harmony, fantastic. Anyone else?
Okay, so this symbol, it means all those things, but this symbol here is actually it's a symbol of alchemy. Do you know what alchemy is? Have I lost you already? Alchemy is a creative process. How stuff. Have you heard of karma? Karma is simply means. It means the effect. It's cause and effect. It doesn't mean bad stuff happens if you're bad. It means you cause something. There is an effect. This is a cause and effect model. So I'm going to run through this. How many parts do you see on this symbol? Five? Okay. Five? Okay, so we're going to be talking about seven real quick, okay? So there's more than seven, but we're only going to be talking about seven. Remember, this is a way of, an alchemy, so it's a creative process. Now, the first thing that we need to cover, do you know what the parts are? Do you know what they're called? First, yin and yang? Okay, so the first bit is this bit here, the white piece, okay? This is called yin. It's called yang in this case. So yang is like, is the intangible. This is your mind. It's the saying in the Tao is that it's the energy comes down from the sun. It's the sun's rays. So that's the intangible, okay? And then it gets absorbed into this bit, which is yin. Yin is the earth in this case. But the thing that happens is yang, thought, plants a seed in yin, which is matter. So this is our third piece, which is called the yang seed. You're going to be tested on this? Okay, yang seed is what that is. Now what happens is because this is alchemy, okay, a thought plants a seed in matter. And then we get to our, what are we up to, four. The fourth piece is the line down the middle. And that's called the mirror. Now, what you notice about this symbol is it mirrors. They're a mirror of each other. Okay? Then the fifth thing is what we call the yin seed. So, thought plants a seed in matter, and due to the mirror effect, it plants a seed back in thought. Does this make sense so far? Are you following me so far? Okay. So, essentially, what happens in our mind, plants, according to this premise, what happens in our mind plants a seed in matter. Have you ever woken up with a feeling hungover and jumped out of bed and gone, yes, I can't wait for the day? You did? So it's a very simple illustration. Our thoughts, our feelings, where we're coming from, influence our matter, our physical appearance. What happens when you're feeling down? What does your body language do? What happens when you're feeling good about yourself? What happens to your body language? So what's going on inside of you is reflected in your body. So they're the first, what are we up to, five pieces. The next piece is the circle, and this is called the capsule. And the capsule is very simple. It's just, it's you. According to this premise, you are a yin and yang symbol. Your internal dialogue influences your external dialogue. Does this make sense? Okay, so we're up to six parts. This will make sense in relation to business in a second. So we're up to six parts. The seventh part is the space outside. And that's called the void. The whole thing says, of all the possibilities, the void is infinite possibilities. Of everything that could possibly happen, because of our internal and this process working, we have our own little experience. Out of everything that could possibly happen, your day because of your internal and external dialogue is what it is. You shape it. Does this make sense? Okay. So just turn to your neighbour and just say, do you know what the fuck he just told me about? So just turn to your neighbour and just share. What are you learning? What's your understanding of what we just said? So this is where it gets interesting, okay? So now that you guys are all Taoist experts, so I'm not into positive thinking, okay? I'm not a positive thinking person. Not one of those guys that says, yes, I can do it, I can do it. I'm a bit more of a realist. And actually, there's a study done on positive thinking. No, we won't go into that. It's too much time. So the this symbol here, the point is, with our mind, there's different types of mind, okay? We have our, this is called our self-conscious. This is our body mind. And this is our, what's called our super conscious. Now, I'm going to show you in a second. We're going to do a little exercise. And all I want to do so far is to get you to understand one thing. If you change where you're coming from, you can change your reality very quickly. If you change where you're coming from. So remember that. So self-conscious mind is just what we're thinking about day to day. Body mind, interestingly, is all the thoughts and feelings and stuff that's stored in our body. The truth is your body's designed to do things without thinking. Like I'm standing up here, I'm not thinking about standing. Well, I am now because I'm talking about it. But once you learn to do something, your body records it. And it's the same with the thought process. It's the same with patterns of behavior. So what happens in our business is we say, I want to go over there. This is my goal. My goal is to talk to more people, to get on the phones, etc., whatever it is. And we start heading towards our goal. But what happens is our stored information kicks in about halfway. We're heading towards our goal and we go, oh, I'm going to go over here. And we do something completely different. Has anyone ever procrastinated? Okay. I never have. But this is all these things, procrastination and stuff like that, and I'm meant to be doing this work, but I'm going to go and do this other thing that's not really that important. This is all the body mind kicking in. These are all the little habits and behaviors kicking in. Does this make sense? You can be as positive as you want. I'm positively going over there, but I'm going to go over here. That's what happens. Your body will override your mind at some point in the process. So, we have a third thing, which is called the superconscious mind. Now, has anyone heard of right brain, left brain? Okay, so do you know what's left brain? Who's a left brain person? Left brain is a past, the left brain is the past, like they're past orientated, they're process orientated. That's left brain. Right brain, on the other hand, is not linked to the past. And so the right brain says, doesn't ask if we can do it. The right brain just says, what do I want to do? Does this make sense? The right brain is the creative. The right brain is the imaginative. So this is not like mystical. This is your left brain down here, which is the don't let that happen, don't let this bad thing happen. And the right brain, which is what can we do? What's possible? Does this make sense? I'm going to give you a demonstration in a second. I need a volunteer from the audience, someone who's not too muscular. Yeah. Come on then. Yeah. We'll see how we go. So this could go really well. You're a bit bigger than me. We'll see how we go. So we're going to do 75. Come over here. So we're going to do an exercise, okay? And all this exercise is designed to do is demonstrate us shifting where we're coming from. That's all it's designed to do. We're demonstrating a shift of where we're coming from. And guess what? You're all going to have a turn. So you got to watch and you're going to get tested. So, Aaron? All right, so we're going to do an exercise. No. So I'm not going to... It's a bit much. Do you take that off, actually? So stand up. Oh, just relax. Oh, you're a muscly bugger. Okay, so I want you to hold your arm like that, okay? And just so you're clear, I'm going to hold my hand here, and I just want to push that bit there. That's what I'm going to try and do. And your job is just to be as strong as you can and stop me doing it. Wait, I haven't started yet. Okay, you ready? Okay, so you can see how... Did I bend your arm?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. You bent it until the guns kicked in. Okay, so now what we're going to do, I want you... So that's what we've just done is engage the body-mind. And I ask this simple question. I want you to be as strong as you can and stop... So now what I want you to do is same thing, but here I want you to just imagine from your elbow a beam of light, okay? Angels singing. No, just a beam of light. Imagine a beam of light coming out of your fingertips to a point up on the ceiling. So all you've got to do is imagine a beam of light from your elbow up to the wherever up on the roof. So just do that. Whatever I do, just imagine a beam of light. You ready? You there? Is it good? Beautiful. Okay, so all we've done is triggered a different part of his brain, okay? We've got a different outcome. How did it feel? Did you notice any difference?
Oh, I was concentrating on that.
And was it harder?
No, it was, it was a little bit.
A little bit harder to concentrate on that?
Yeah, then just stand here and do nothing.
Okay, beautiful. All right, so grab a partner. There's a little exercise. So give him a hand. What you just saw was a... Turn to the person next to you and say, oh my God, I can't believe what I just saw. So turn to... Everyone stand up. This is where you... I speak, you do. Hey? No, I don't. So all we're doing... instructions, come up here, please, Trish. So, just a little something. We're not insured for broken wrists. So, just don't do it up here. You're just holding them on the wrist, okay? Does that make sense? You with me? And hold your hand behind. First instruction is be as strong as you can. And so, the arm has to be kind of bent already, okay? And then you bend the arm. And the second one is imagine a beam of light coming from your fingers up to the roof. You with me? Okay, have a play. All right. Okay, so just quickly around the room, what did you notice? Big difference? Yeah? Was it easier? Exactly. It can be dangerous. Around the room, what did you notice? Superhuman strength? Yeah? It's simple. It's easy. Okay, so this is what you got to understand is this is what I've been obsessed with, is how do we apply that? Like, this is a really nice trick, but you can't walk around in business going like that all day. How do we apply that into business, okay? How do we apply the easy way into business? That's essentially what we're going to be talking about now, which is, so we're going to get into the hard. That's the soft. Now, we'll just quickly do this. The body mind or your left brain is going to be worrying about what if this doesn't work? What if this happens? How do I avoid this? Essentially, the body mind is it's a preservation thing, okay? It's trying to keep you alive. So the body mind is seeking to avoid discomfort. But the major thing it's looking for is comfort. Does that make sense? The difference in this philosophy, in the I Ching philosophy, in the easy way of running business, there's a single mantra, and I'd love you to write this down. Do what makes you happy despite how it feels. Do what makes you happy despite how it feels. Now, interestingly, Steve said at the start of the session, you know, who wants to stand up and present or introduce themselves? You know, it starts now. Personally, I hate public speaking, but it's the fastest way to grow a business. I hate public speaking, but it's the fastest way to grow an information business, which is what I'm in. So I love growing my business. That makes me happy. But standing in front of a crowd, not so much in the past. Like, I love it now. I'm starting to love it. But the premise is, do what makes you happy despite how it feels. Now, so in business, does it make you happy to make a sale? Yeah? Is it comfortable making a sale? Is it comfortable sitting on the phone talking to cold calling? Is it comfortable? Is it comfortable asking for the price that you're worth? Not always, is it? Does it make you happy when you get it? Okay, so the truth, we're seeking happiness over comfort. And this is the premise: is comfort depletes you, happiness increases me. Sitting on the couch, drinking wine, eating chocolate, is that happiness or comfort? Doing what I need to do in my business, is that comfort or happiness? Long lunches, comfort or happiness? Okay, so if you just get that, that's the soft in a nutshell. So now we're going to get into the hard, which is we're going to talk about growth models. So this is all that's a picture of me, by the way. Actually, it's a picture of Travis. He's pretty ripped up the back, the bucket list dude. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Taking my chance now. So we're talking about growth models. So that's the soft. Where we're coming from influences where we end up. You can have the best growth model, but if you're not coming from the right place, it will affect, where you're coming from will affect the outcome in your business. So with a growth model, there's the main thing that most people do is we have what's called a complicated growth model. So who's using Facebook to grow their business? Who's using multiple platforms to grow their business? So tell me, what platforms are you using?
Pinterest, Twitter, lots of different social media, Google, that sort of stuff, yeah.
Uh-huh. What's working the best?
I'll ask my social media expert.
For repeat business, like Facebook does work, but for the initial contact, more like
who knows exactly where their clients are coming from? Yeah, fantastic. Who knows? Who knows exactly how many people connect with you through different mediums? So you guys don't count at the back, but anyone else, you guys know. Okay, so most people have what's called a complicated strategy. In other words, they throw all this stuff at the wall and have no idea whether it's working or not. But they keep throwing more stuff at the wall, hoping that it'll work. Does this make sense? So where we're coming from is a space of, it's called urgency. So we're coming from urgency. I've got to grow my business. I've got to grow my business. I've got to grow my business. And what happens is, based on this theory I've just told you, is that creates more, shit, I've got to grow my business. Where you're coming from determines where you end up. So if your growth model is complicated and all over the place and confusing, it's going to create complicated, all over the place, confusing business. Does this make sense? So just turn to your neighbor real quick. What is? Have you got a streamlined or a complicated business model? Growth model. Heckler. All right. Complicated. Who's leaning towards complicated? Who's leaning towards more strategic? Who's got no arms? Does anyone not have a model? Does anyone not have a growth model? Okay, left hand up. On your neighbour. Shake them. He just asked us a question. What was the answer? Who doesn't have a strategic growth model for your business? Who doesn't know what one is? Okay, cool. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about in just a moment. So firstly, when we're looking at growing a business, the first thing to understand is that what are we actually selling? So around the room, what are you selling in your business?
Quickly.
Service. Okay, great.
Solutions,
yep. Product.
Experience.
Nice. Yeah, hairdressing experience. Beautiful.
Client experience as well.
Okay, fantastic. So there's four types of, when we're looking at business, there's four types of things that we're selling. The first one, down the bottom, is a commodity. So who sells commodities? Anyone in the business? Do you sell a commodity?
Renovations.
That's actually right on the top. I'll wait for that in a sec. So commodity, when we're selling a commodity, it becomes price-based. If you're selling something that everyone else is selling, people will argue with you over price. Okay? So in terms of repositioning ourselves, we don't want to be in the commodity market. Because commodity is raw material and people argue over price. Has anyone ever argued with you over price? Okay, so that's based on, we've got what's called commodity positioning there. The next one is service, a service business. So I provide a service to you. Now, the problem with service is they buy service based on whether they like you or not. Most people will get to service. The third type of way of selling or positioning ourselves is to sell an experience. So once we start getting into selling experience, we can start to charge a premium for what we're doing. You look confused. Soaking it all in. Fantastic. So an experience, like paintball, is an experience. But if you're arguing over price, it's positioned as a commodity. So when we start selling experience, when we're selling a personal journey or experience, then we can start to charge a premium for it. But the final one, which is what we're aiming for, is a transformation. Now, if you can guarantee an outcome, but more importantly, if you can guarantee an outcome that your client actually wants, you can charge whatever you like for it. And we'll get into how we can price this in a moment. Does this make sense? Okay, so there's three foundations to a growth model. And there's three things we need to work on to get ourselves from commodity positioning to transformational positioning. Now, it looks a little like this. So if we have our product or service or intellectual property, whatever you want to call it, and then our goal is revenue, there's three things that we need to tweak. The first is the mechanics. Now, what I mean by mechanics is that's your marketing process. That's your lead generation. This is your advertising. This is your social media, etc. That's the mechanics, but it's mechanical. The thing with mechanics is you can get this thing optimized, but an optimized mechanics isn't the fastest way to generate more revenue. You can get small changes in revenue by optimizing your mechanics, but really the fastest way to change our revenue is to change our market. And we're going to be talking about that after lunch. Your market, in particular, is the thing that determines how much money you can charge. Now, please write this down. Your product is not where your value is. How your market uses your product determines its value. A premium market, you can charge more for exactly the same service. Does this make sense? Your market determines, like what was your name, sorry mate, Paintball?
Pete.
Okay, so Pete from Paintball, like he can either go for, he can either target the paintball aficionados, the tools, we call them, tool balls, paint tools, sorry. Okay, so he can target those guys who are interested in commodity, or he can target corporate businesses who and offer a transformational or a team building experience, and he can charge possibly 10 times as much for exactly the same service. Does this make sense? Okay, so just very quickly, turn to your neighbour and just discuss your market and have you got the most valuable market? So just turn to your neighbour now. Okay, so just feed back to me. We've got a couple of minutes before lunch. Tell me, is your market the best market for you so far? Scale of 1 to 10. Let's rate your market. Scale of 1 to 10. 3? 5? Great. 6? 3? Okay, fantastic. So the good news is, after lunch, we'll be playing around with your market. The third thing, which we'll also be playing around with after lunch, is your message. Now, the message is simply the way in which you communicate your product or your service to the marketplace. Has anyone ever asked you what you do and you've taken 20 minutes to explain it? That's what we call a confusion message. So if we can't communicate what we do and the value to our prospect very quickly, then we have what's called a confusion message, okay? So your message, let's put it this way. Mechanics determines how many people you can reach. Market determines how much money you can charge for your service. And message determines how many people you talk to actually become clients. Most people I see spend a lot of time on their mechanics. Whereas if we can upgrade our market, we can double what we charge, and I'll show you how we do this after lunch. And if we can communicate our message, we can easily double our conversion. Like, industry standard for a workshop is 10% conversion. So if you do a sales presentation, industry standard is 10%. So you can get, like, if you get this right, you should be able to convert 40% of a room easily, up to 80%. I've actually converted 150% of a room once. It was a one-off, but you know, everyone signed up and everyone brought a friend or a partner. So if you get everything right, if you get your market right and your message right, then you can, that, like, to me, they're the heavy lifting things in your business, and we'll be covering that after lunch. Is that my time?
Mate, that's you.
That's me.
All right, round of applause for Adam.